If you would, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Would like to read verse 1 through verse 14. My text will be verse 4 through 10. But we'll read verse 1 through verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will make also an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever." Have you ever tried to pick up a radio station when the dial wasn't set? You turn the radio on and you hear nothing but static. So you grab the dial and you start to turn it toward the frequency number, and scree and crackle, and you hear all kinds of scratching and hipping and beeping and all that. Now I know today they have more of these automatic tuning things, but I remember those radios and trying to dial that kind of thing in. Suddenly, as you're trying to get the station in, you're turning that dial ever so slowly, you suddenly come upon some music or a sound of a voice. But then you run past it, don't you? You ever do that? And you adjust back and forth till finally the station comes in crystal clear. You're tuned in. When dialing in the radio station, you hear the static, or you get the station, but there's a bleed-in of one or more stations. And most of the time, you run by it two or three times, and then sometimes you get close and you can hear the station, but it is faint. Now, apparently, not many listen to radios these days, but that's the way that works. But aren't we like that with God too many times? God is the station, and we're trying to receive His message, but like the radio, too often we have difficulty in hearing Him crystal clear. Well, I want to look into our story today that we have in our passage, and I want to talk to you a message entitled, Tune In to God. This should make sense as we go through the text. But let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being back in your house, and thank you for your blessings that rest upon us. Thank you that we can come together in your name, and Lord, we pray that everything that's said and done today will be for your honor and for your glory. We pray for those that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to yourself. We pray that you would grant repentance and faith, that they might be saved even today. May those of us who are saved, Lord, may we recognize that we want to hear you clearly. We want to be tuned in to you, and I pray that you would just touch our hearts and let us receive the message as well, that we would follow you well. And again, we ask that everything that's said and done would be to your praise. We desire to worship you today in spirit and in truth. And we pray your blessings upon us. Be with your word as it goes forth all around the world today. We know it shall not return unto you a void, but will accomplish the purpose whereunto you have sent it, and we thank you for that. And so we commit this time to you. We love you. We honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about how we ought to tune in to God today. But let me give you a background upon this information that we have in 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you would glance back into chapter 1 of this book, you would find introduced there a man and his wife. And the name's man was Elkanah, and his wife's name was Hannah. And the Bible records that Hannah was barren, and she was very much troubled of the fact that she could not have children. The Bible also records that one year, while they were going up to the tabernacle at Shiloh to worship the Lord, that Hannah prayed a very heartfelt prayer. And she pleaded for a child and then promised to give that child back to the Lord. Well, if you know the story, Eli the priest was there, and he thought Hannah was drunk, so he rebuked her for that. And she explained the sorrow of her heart in desiring a child. And upon that, Eli blessed her. And when the time was right, she and her husband returned home. And lo and behold, God answered her prayers, and she bore a son whom she named Samuel. Now, as promised, after she had weaned Samuel, she brought him to the tabernacle at Shiloh and presented him unto the Lord, giving him to the work of the Lord there. So Samuel stayed with Eli. We read in chapter 2 and in verse 18, that Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. And that same idea is found as we read in chapter 3 and in verse 1, where it said the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And that brings us to our text. We pick it up there in verse 4. We have in the intervening verses, as we read a moment ago, about how that in their normal course of human events that they, at night, they were going to bed. It's just simply how that works out. And Eli laid himself down. Samuel went to the place where he was sleeping and laid himself down. And that brings us to where we enter into verse 4. So we have the account of the text. And so if you're taking an outline, or if you can look at the outline in the bulletin, you'll find the first point was the background which I offered unto you. Second point is the account of the text. And I would like to enumerate it this way. First of all, in verse 4, I want you to notice the call. The call. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Now, personally, I don't know how God did this. We don't have a record in the text of how he has done this. But because of Samuel's response, I would assume that it was in a verbal sound. I mean, it was an audible voice that he heard that. Now, Samuel laying down, being asleep, perhaps he heard that in the voice of his mind, perhaps. We don't know for sure. What we do have is that God came to Samuel. And again, as we go through the text, it seems to be an audible voice to me, but he comes through the text and he calls out to him. Now, I'm not suggesting, and please do not walk away from this message today saying, "Well, I'm just going to wait around and let God be calling me out in the middle of the night or calling me in the day, and I'm just going to wait for a vision from God." Bear in mind, at this time, we did not have the record of Scripture. The knowledge was very, very scant. They had the Torah, and that was just about it. They didn't have the Word of God. The Scripture says that the visions were very scarce in those days. That's how God communicated, through the prophets. And so things in our society is much, much different, and much time has passed. So do not interpret here and say, "I'm going to go wait around, wait for God to speak to me." You have the Word of God. God will speak through His Word. And so I just want to tie that problem off before it ever gets started. And so we have the call that's issued to Samuel in verse 4. Verse 5 is the confusion. "And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I call not. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down." So you can picture that in your mind's eye. Any of us who have children, you can picture this in a heartbeat. You grew up under the care of your parents. You can picture this when there'd be a time where you would call unto them and they could come unto you. And so here we just have the picture in our mind of Eli. He went and lay down in his place. Samuel, he went and lay down in his place. And Samuel gets this voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And what's he do? First thing he thinks of, "This is Eli. He's calling me." Well, what would you expect? But so there's a little confusion that results out of this, because he goes running in to Eli and says, "Here am I." And Eli goes, "Well, I didn't call you. What's your problem?" "Hey, go back and lay down." And so we have the call in verse 4, and we have the confusion in verse 5, the continuation in verse 6. The Lord called yet again, so it didn't stop there. He called yet again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son, lie down again." So it just repeats itself. And the confusion is multiplied here. Samuel! Samuel hears a voice, runs into Eli. "What do you want?" "I don't want anything. I didn't call you. What'd you have for dinner? You know, I mean, what's your problem, guy? So go back and lay down." So we have, this continues as God continues to speak to him. Now the cause for this confusion and the events of which unfold within our text is found in verse 7. We have the cause. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." Now that's a problem. Because God's coming to him and God's speaking to him, but he doesn't know God. He doesn't know his voice. And so when he hears the word Samuel, he thinks it's Eli. So no problem with that. We can understand this issue and how it's unfolding. You look into verse 8 and verse 9. The next point of this text is the correction. "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I. For thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place." So now finally on this third issue, when he hears the voice and he goes unto Eli, "And you called me," and Eli says, "Man, what is going on here?" Then he perceives. He puts the dots together. Now it's making sense, and it dawns on him, God's speaking to him. So this is what you do. Go back and lay down, and next time when he speaks, you say, "Speak, for your servant heareth." And so you go and just listen for the voice of God this time. And so now Eli offers some correction to this young man about responding to the voice of God. And that brings us to the end of the account of our text, which is the end of our passage, verse 10, the communication. "And the Lord came and stood and called at other time, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" And so now finally the communication gets through. Now when God on the third time calls unto Samuel, he recognizes, "Speak, speak, tell me what you want to say." And he knows there's something different. He doesn't go run off to Eli anymore. And so now there's actual communication between God and Samuel. Let me ask you, can you identify with this event? I'm not talking about in the physical realm, or because we can all identify sometimes in our lives about miscommunications and that kind of thing. But I'm talking in the fact that, you know, the title of the message is Tune In to God. And so we recognize that there are times where God may be speaking to us and we're just not quite picking up. We don't have our dial in on the wavelength. You ever recognize that in your life? But I submit unto you those times when we are off the channel frequency and we don't quite have God tuned in and other things are bleeding in, and well, I'll just remind you that that problem isn't with God. The problem is with us. If I don't hear God correctly, if I don't hear Him clearly, the problem is not with God, it's with me. And that's true for you too, isn't it? And so when that happens, it's because we're just not tuned in to God. And so in these verses here from verse 4 down through verse 10, a very simple story about a young lad who wasn't tuned in, but by the end of our account is tuned in. Let's glean some more from this story. We notice the background and we notice the account of the text. But let me offer you a few thoughts upon why Samuel wasn't tuned in. My third point is why Samuel was not tuned in. For this, I direct your attention back to verse 7. Why is it that this guy, this young lad, been serving, following God in the ministry there at the tabernacle at Shiloh, why is it that when God calls, he didn't pick up on it? Well, the first thing I'd bring to your attention is found in the first part of verse 7. And I use the word unknowing, because it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Very simply, although he was serving in the temple, he was laboring in the ministry, he did not know God. That's what the Bible says. And that tells me that God is a stranger to Samuel. A stranger. Now, those of you who are here outside of Jesus Christ, you might wonder, how come I don't understand this and how come I don't understand that? And when I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. And I come to the preaching and I get some things. I don't get some other things. And I just don't quite get why you do what you do and the thrill behind it. And there's just a lot of questions. And the problem is you just don't know God. And that's why if God might be moving in your heart, God might be directing the Word to you when you hear it preached or when you hear it taught or somebody, a family member or a friend speaks it to you. And you just can't quite put the dots together. And the reason is because God is a stranger to you. You are not saved. Samuel was not a Christian, if we may express it that way. He did not yet know the Lord. So can we fault him for when God calls to him and says, Samuel, Samuel, that he doesn't run to God and say, hey, God, what is it? But he runs to Eli instead. Can we fault him for that? Not really, because he just doesn't know any better. I submit unto you that the reason why Samuel wasn't tuned in, the first thing we find in verse 7 is simply was that he was unknowing. He did not know God. Second point is found in the latter part of verse 7. And the word that I use for this is unaware. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You see, not only did he have the problem that he didn't know God, but as I mentioned unto you earlier, that the way that God was communicating to the children of Israel at this time was through prophets. And so God would reveal himself to the prophets, speak to them, and then they would speak to the people. Now, God reveals himself to Samuel here, although he be at a very young age. God reveals himself to Samuel, but Samuel doesn't know God, and he had never had that experience before. And so the Scripture says here that the word of the Lord was not yet revealed unto him. He was unaware of God's word. God's word was strange to him. God's word was alien to him. He had never heard the voice before. And so he had two problems going on with him up to this point. And that is the fact that he didn't know and he had never experienced it before. Now, the truth of the matter is, often, and especially if you're outside of Jesus Christ, even if you go to church and read your Bible, often we will not hear the voice of God. We will not be tuned into God like we should, is basically because we're ignorant. We're apathetic. We're not diligent enough to stick with it and to know what God's Word has to say. I used to work with a guy many, many years ago and worked for NCR Corporation. I was a sanitation engineer. For those of you who don't know, that's a janitor. And I was a sanitation engineer in this place. We worked third shift in NCR. And every break, I would sit on one side of the table with my Bible, and I'd read my Bible, and he'd sit across the table with his pornography and look at his pornography. And I witnessed to him. One day he said, listen, he said, I read the Bible through once and that's enough. Well, I guarantee you reading the Bible through once is not enough. Just did not know. And the type of guy that he was and the type of guy that I was, we were sitting there one time, and I don't know why I thought of this, but I was sitting there at lunch and he was looking at his pornography and he said, hey, buddy, look at this. So he turns the book around, you know. I picked up the Bible I was reading. I turned around and said, look at this. So mine was much better than his, I guarantee you. But you know, the truth of the matter is, as a lost person, you're just not aware of the things of God. And the sad thing is, as Christians, if you don't spend time with God and spend time in His Word and be faithful like you're here today to hear God's Word and to hear it preached and to hear it taught, you know what? You're not going to know. And when God begins to work in your life through circumstances or other means, the providence of God and how those things will unfold, you're not going to catch it. Do you know why? Because you're unaware. You're unaware. Oh, I would encourage you to love God and to love His Word, dear Christian friend, so that you can be tuned in to God. Well, that's my submission unto you, then, these first two points, is that Samuel wasn't tuned in because he was unknowing and he was unaware. But the third thing I would submit unto you, which we find throughout the passage, is he was unsuspecting. He was unsuspecting. Pick it up there in verse 4. Through the beginning of verse 5, the Lord called unto Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli. So we know that was an issue. Skip down to verse 6. The Lord called yet again unto Samuel. Verse 8. And the Lord called again the third time. But every time in those three times, what did he do? He got up, he heard the voice, he ran to Eli. Do you know why? Because every other time he heard a voice, it was Eli. Samuel was accustomed to being called by Eli. That's just what happened. If anybody was going to call in the temple courts, it would be Eli. No one else. And so Eli was the one that was over him. And Samuel's just accustomed to life as he knew it. And so when he heard this voice, he heard it humanly. I believe it was an audible voice. He heard humanly. He reasoned humanly. And he responded humanly. Every time he heard his name before, it was Eli. He heard the voice. He discerned it to be Eli. He gets up and he goes to Eli. And he says, "Here am I." Why does he do that? Because it is unsuspecting to him. It's always been this way. It will always be this way. So if I'm laying down at night and I hear my name, it's got to be Eli, so I'm going to Eli because he's the only one here. Does that make sense to you? And what I submit unto you is that we get so accustomed to life, and we get so accustomed with the way we do things, that we'll hear things humanly, and we will reason things humanly, and we will respond humanly, and it isn't the human at all. It's God in our lives, and God is working, and God is moving, and God is opening up His Word, and He is working in our midst. And yet, if we're going to be so accustomed to the things of the world, we will not hear, and we will not respond properly, because we're going to do it from a human viewpoint. I encourage you to be sensitive to the work of God in your lives. Whether you're lost or whether you're saved, you want God to move in your life. You want God to speak to your heart. Truth is that some are too busy with life itself to realize that God is speaking to their hearts. The book of Matthew gives us a parable of the seed and the sower, and some of that seed falls among the thorns and the thistles, and it says that seed grows up and it's choked and it does not produce fruit. Why? Because of the thorns and the thistles. And Jesus explained and says that's when the good word of God will fall into our hearts on the good ground, but it's where the thorns and the thistles are, and the things, the cares of this world will choke it off. And sometimes, my dear friend, as a Christian, you're not going to be tuned in to God because you have too much going on. You got to bleed in from all the other radio stations. You're so busy with doing life the way you know that you're not even listening for God. You're not even looking for God. And that's a real problem. Don't be unsuspecting. Don't be like Samuel. He's just responding to what he knew. Some people are too distracted by the world. Some people are misdirected by the things of this life. And sometimes God may be speaking to your heart, but you interpret it in the light of your own life, and you interpret it in the way that you view things instead of the message which God is attempting to give to you. I would encourage you, my friend, to want to tune into God and to hear His voice. Eli did what he did because that was what he was normally used to. I mean, Samuel. But I also mention Eli as well. You know, Eli did what he thought. Eli reacts humanly. Samuel comes and said, "Hey, you called me." "No, I didn't. Go lay down." It wasn't until after the third time that he recognized. And then he gave him the instruction. And what that tells me, and what this also exhorts me unto, is the fact that it's hurtful when the man of God gets off the station just a little bit. You see, if you come to me for direction and I'm off the station, I'm not going to give you the direction that you ought to have. Eli was off the channel a little bit here. Samuel comes in and he doesn't quite pick it up until after the third time. We just can get so used to the things of our lives and how God works. This thing which I just experienced, I expect God to show me something through that. I expect to be different than I was before. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be more sympathetic and empathetic. And I will certainly be a lot more compassionate when I stand by the bedside of someone for a medical procedure than I had before. I've never been sick in my life, really. I want to learn from it. I want to hear God better. I don't want to interpret my life in the ways of my life. I want to interpret it in the way of God's life. God, what are you saying? What are you doing? How are you working? What do you want me to do? That's what occurs here in the text. So finally, these things come together, but we find the problem is that Samuel, he just wasn't tuned in. But after the instruction, what happens? Samuel does get tuned in. So I direct your attention back to verse 9. Notice the instruction there. He was instructed. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. He finally got the instruction that he needed. And how did that instruction come? It came through God's word, through God's man. This is what Samuel needed. He needed some direction. And he didn't get it from his compatriots. He didn't get it from his school chums. He didn't get it from the philosophy books or at the university. Where he got what he needed was from God's word as it was given by God's man. And you do a right thing by coming to the house of God when you're able to be here to hear God's word preached and declared unto you, to hear it taught. And every Christian ought to desire that. Every Christian ought to pursue that, because that's how we're going to grow, and that's how God is going to make a difference, and that's how God's going to speak to our hearts. And when He brings things across our path in His providence, we will be able to recognize the hand of God if we're sensitive and we're tuned in to God. Samuel finally got tuned in, and he got tuned in because he was instructed. And I pray that you would use this today as an instruction so that you might get that knob a little bit closer to God. Right on the mark where there's no bleed in and no static. I pray that that's God, what God would do. But then in verse 10, I would submit that he got instructed, but he also became sensitive because the Lord came and stood and called at another time, Samuel, Samuel. And this time he responded in the way God would have him to respond. This time he recognizes God. He's sensitive. And we need to be sensitive to God. Have you ever read the scripture and you read the passage over and over and over, and finally you're reading in your devotion one time, or you're hearing it preached and you get to this particular passage, and you might have read it a dozen times, and all of a sudden the thing just opens up like a flower and the light comes on and you go, wow, I didn't know that. I never recognized that before. You become sensitive to the truth. I pray that God would work in our hearts that we might be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He moves in our midst, as He moves in our soul, that He would speak to us, that He would lead, guide, and direct us, and we would be willing to be responsive. Three other times Samuel had not picked up on it. He did not know until he was instructed. And then when God came again, he knew, this is the voice of God. And I'm going to say, speak, your servant hears. And so he's instructed and he's sensitive. Verse 10, the last part of the verse, tells us he was obedient. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. You know what? He did exactly what he was instructed to do. I will respond to God. Because Eli said, that's God speaking to you. Next time, you react that way. Understand that. Be sensitive. Recognize it and respond. And that's what he does. And I would encourage you, my friend, not to cultivate a cold heart, not to cultivate the weeds and the thorns and the thistles of the world, but I encourage you to cultivate a sensitivity toward God and toward His Word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and be obedient. Be obedient. So when God came again, He didn't react as at other times. He was obedient to the instruction that was given to Him, the Word of God by the man of God, and he said, speak, for your servant hears. And so what happened? He was tuned in. Before, no, he's off the channel. You can't get the message. But now, Samuel is tuned in. You say, how do I know that he was tuned in? Well, because in verse 11 down through verse 14, we recognize that he was open to the voice, and he was willing to receive whatever that God had for him. And so in verse 11 down through verse 14, he listened. And we're not going to read those verses again. You can glance through them, but God is just giving him a message to tell him about the judgment he's going to pour out upon Eli, because Eli was disobedient in his life and not instructing his children in the things of God. And so here's the voice, comes to Samuel. He says, "Speak, your servant hears." And God begins to tell him about the judgment that's going to come upon Eli. Is Samuel listening? Yeah, and we're just going to skip down to verse 18. Because in the morning, Eli called Samuel and said, "Hey, did that voice come to you again?" "Yeah, it did." "Did he speak to you?" "Yes, he did." What did he have to say? Verse 18 says, "And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him." Eli's response, which I really find it to be hard-hearted myself, he says, "What's the Lord? Let him do what seemeth to be good." I mean, he was responsive to it, but he was like, "Well, oh well, it's the way it's going to be." He should have been responding to disciplining his children the way he should have and all that, but he just kind of resigns himself, which he couldn't do anything but do so. But you find that what happens in this case is that Samuel hears the word of God, and he listens. I know so because when Eli says, "Hey, what'd he say?" he tells him. So he had to be listening. He wasn't making this stuff up. And so he responded. That's the story, isn't it? I trust you understand why I entitled it "Tune Unto God." So let me just say to you in closing, some of you need to tune in. Some of you need to tune in. Some of you are unknowing. You're not saved. You're lost. And you need to be saved. You need Jesus Christ. I encourage you to turn to God and ask God to work in your heart. Continue to seek Him through the Word and prayer. Some of you just need to flat tune in. But you know, even as Christians, some of you need to do a little fine tuning. I know I need to do that on occasion. You need to do that on occasion. And maybe today, you've recognized that you need to do some fine tuning. You've drifted from the station. You can still hear it. But there's so much bleed-in and so much static, it's kind of hard to pick it up and get a word here and there. You know what I'm saying? You get the point? Even as children of God, we can drift from the station. And some of you are lost, need to be saved. Some of you who are saved need to tune that dial in just a little bit closer. You just do. And when it gets off again, you need to do it again. And you need to do it again. And you need to do it again. You just have to keep tuning in. I submit unto you, no matter who you are here today, all of us need to be sensitive. All of us need to be open. All of us need to be willing to do what God would have us to do. Lost person, your responsibility is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to do so? Would you embrace Christ today and be saved? Christian, as God moves in your heart, moves in your life, speaking to your soul about this matter of even, you know what? Yes, you do need to tune something in. Are you willing? Are you willing to get into the privacy of your own home today or tonight and say, "God, yeah, I'm off. Cause me to tune in a little closer. And keep me tuned in." I pray that God would speak to your heart. In what area is God dealing with you today? I do not know. But you do. And I just encourage you to tune in to God. Samuel did. I pray that you will too. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts. And just, Lord, overcome any frailty of my speech. And I pray that by your Spirit you would just move. We pray for the lost that they might be saved. And we who are saved, God, we'd have a great desire to tune into you. And to be tuned and to stay tuned. And let us not be distracted by the world. Lord, keep us from the static and the bleed in. Help us just to hear you and hear you alone. Let us be sensitive and to love you and to draw near. Lord, just move as you can. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn to number 372.